From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Nguyen announcing show number 390, Small Business Server in a Cloud World, with guest Susan Bradley. Recorded Thursday, September 18th, 2014. Run As Radio is produced each week by PWOP Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. This week, my guest is Susan Bradley, back after a long delay, actually. And she's been around for a while. She was patching back before the Code Red and Nimba days, and she remembers exactly where she was when SQL Slammer hit. Oh, boy. I get chills just thinking about that, actually. And she still blogs at sbsdiva.com. Although, does Small Business Server still exist?
It doesn't. Well, the name itself does not exist anymore.
Okay.
But there's still a need for small business solutions.
Yes.
So I call myself Small Business Susan these days rather than SB. So it's still SBS Diva, just slightly different SBS Diva.
There you go. Small Business Susan. I like that. That's a good answer to the problem. So what happened? And I feel bad that we didn't pay more attention because it's been literally 5 years, I think, since you've been on the show. And we were in a midst. Remember there was the Essentials Edition? There was in the midst of all this change.
Mm-hmm. And the biggest changes, and those of you that run Exchange servers or run mail servers know exactly what happened, is Exchange got bigger and went to the cloud.
Yes.
And really, really, really doesn't want to be on-premise anymore.
No, and I just upgraded my personal Exchange server to 2013, and now that I'm done, I'm saying that's the last one.
Yes.
That's it. Next time I do an upgrade on this thing, it's going to be to the cloud.
So we're kind of at this, what I call the awkward age.
Yes.
So you've got, and you kind of, I'm talking to the consultants in the crowd and also to those that are kind of involved in IT. You've kind of got this, what I'm going to call under 50 and over 50.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got a firm that's primarily run by over 50, people that are over the age of 50,
mm-hmm.
cloud is still this, what the heck is that?
And
why do people put new pictures up there and then get hacked? And it's still this, I don't want my email up there.
Right.
And then there's the under 50 that says, hey, you know, if it's any, I don't want it here because I know the risks of having it locally and not having a backup. And especially in California, what if we have an earthquake and fall off in the ocean?
Yeah.
So why not have it someplace where somebody else takes care of it? It's clearly being built for the cloud and for, you know, data centers and things like that. It's no longer fitting in one small little package anymore,
yeah.
Which is the big, big problem. So here we've got this big, humongous beast that's built for data centers, and we're trying to do like the stepsisters in Cinderella and stuff it down into this tiny little, you know, glass slipper, and it's just not fitting anymore. So they made the decision back in the Essentials days, and it's even going more so now to say, hey, let's make it so that you have the option. We're not taking it away completely, but it's got to go in its own server.
Right.
And when I say it's got to go in its own server, for those of you that do Hyper-V, you know that its own server really means a server instance.
Yeah, a VM.
It doesn't have to be a physical separate box. It just has to be on its own VM.
Although I still have folks arguing that, you know, Exchange should be on bare metal. I don't agree with them, but that is an argument that's made.
And it's hard, again, you get back to the small business owner who says, well, wait a sec, what do you mean I have to buy two servers now or three servers or whatever, the physical servers? I don't want to do that. Now, I would argue, but, you know, all those people that do Hyper-V and say, you know, we're going to put it on this one machine, we're kind of still doing the eggs in one basket bit.
Yes.
You know, you're putting it on a physical box, and you better make sure that that's a good physical box because you're back in the same SBS model where everything is on one physical server. So if the drives go or the RAID goes or whatever.
You trip over the power cord.
The power cord, I mean, you name it.
Yeah.
You're still on one, you've got one basket and all your eggs are in there.
Well, and just talking in context of mail, isn't that the one thing that should be in the cloud? Because it's always over the internet anyway, and it clearly runs better in that model.
But again, you know, you kind of can't fight with paranoia and tinfoil and,
yes,
you know, there's some business owners that you just can't do that. So the Essentials has now an essential, as well as the Essential SKU, it's got Essential Role. And that's what Microsoft is going to be pushing more and more of, is let's not do its own little SKU anymore, even though it's out there. Let's do Essentials as a role, so even you big guys and medium-sized businesses, because, hey, you guys struggle with hooking up to Office 365.
Yep.
I mean, you know, as much as they say, oh, it's so easy, it still is, you know, there's a lot of moving parts. And you have to know DNS, and you have to, you know, authentication, and
yes,
the whole, you know, ballyhoo. It's still complicated to hook ourselves up to cloud services. So they've got an Office 365 wizard, so that you put in you go up to the console and you put in your authentication, and it just automatically hooks in. And so every single time you change a password, it syncs that password change into the domain controller as well.
Right.
So you don't have this awkwardness of, oh, gee, I have to change a password here, here, and here.
Yeah.
It syncs it all up. In addition, they're hooking you into Azure Cloud Backup. So if you want to have, and this is where we're starting to pry Essentials away from having to be on site, and more people are going, wait a sec, what if we don't want, and this is where it goes into even the smaller micro companies. Some of these small companies are getting to where they don't have physical offices anymore.
Right.
And they do shared offices, or they remote in from home. And so, wait a sec, how do we have a domain controller when we have no physical location?
Right.
You know, we kind of don't want to put it in anybody's house, because if they get a burglary, that kind of isn't too safe. So what do we do with this thing? And that's where we start to push Essentials and the Essentials role up into Azure. Let's go even more cloud.
Yeah, so no, I love that. And, you know, this is such a huge advantage having backup in the cloud, that now, you know, the building can burn down. You have all that capability. People really like that part. You're not working in the cloud,
right,
per se. It's just a backup point. But it is, you know, it's that drug dealer. Here's your first hit. And once you start liking that and it works, you know, you'll get pulled into
it. And to be honest with you, I mean, again, because we're in this kind of awkward teenage stage, it's hard. It's hard for me as a still, you know, half premises, half cloud person to go cloud backup. You know how long it takes for me to back up to the cloud on my, you know, Comcast connection?
Right.
It's still a long time. But if your whole shebang is in the cloud,
then it's not a big deal.
You're going cloud to cloud.
It just happens.
So yeah, we in this awkward phase that we kind of go, oh, that doesn't make sense. But, you know, it's like, wait a sec, let's put everything up there. And then it makes a lot more sense. And then you go, okay, well, wait a sec, how do I get up to that Azure? There's several ways. There's a lot of changes going on. And I swear to gosh, every day you open up Mary Jo Foley and there's some new news report of something new in Azure rolling out. And you're
right,
going, wait a sec, when did that occur? So, I mean, the biggest problem I can say right now in Azure is that it's changing so fast, it's hard to keep up with it.
Yes.
So what you think you couldn't do today, go look at the headlines or go look at the Azure stuff tomorrow, and I bet it changed. So there's
it's
a couple
now.
Ways you can get up to Azure. One of the primary ways with the Essentials is there's a VPN wizard. So you can do a site-to-site VPN.
Nice.
So you've got your laptops or whatever out in the field, and you can VPN. They can VPN from the laptops up to that Essentials role up and hosting up in Azure. Another way that is just recently rolling out is the Azure RDS stuff. So you've got hosted desktops up there. So from whatever device, iPad, you name it, you've got exactly the same desktop going into that Azure.
Wow.
So, I mean, think of what we do now with remote desktops. Now put that server up in Azure.
That's impressive. That's just that in opens industry possibilities. Then again, it's the backup capability, access anywhere capability.
Yep.
You know, as long as you've got a decent connection, it should be great.
And even like I've literally remoted in. If those of you that follow the blog at SPSD, that you know that last year when I was traveling overseas, I remoted into my office from a MiFi from off the shores of Italy.
Nice.
I was in. I had rented these overseas MiFis for different countries, and I was on a cruise ship. And the cruise ship, of course, has this expensive, you know, Wi-Fi that they want you to buy. Well, every single time I got within, you know, how many miles of the shore I suddenly was able to hang off of the MiFi devices. So, like, I'm, you know, hey, I'm here in Italy on a cruise ship. And able to
and I'm still able to get to my work.
You got it.
That's hilarious. Yeah, it's hard to resist some of that capability, even when, you know, part of this awkward teenage stage is as much our mentality around the cloud as it is about the capabilities and where they're actually at. So when I think small business server now, am I really thinking about Windows Server 2012 R2 Essentials?
Yes. I'd say Windows 2012 R2 Standard.
Standard.
Because Essentials is now a role.
Okay.
So there's two versions of Essentials. One is the SKU where you're, you know, it's a smaller price point, a cheaper price point, to be honest with you. But it's down on that, you know, you're limited to 25 users. You don't have CALs, all this kind of stuff.
Right.
But you're kind of, you know, if you ever grow past 25, it's a little awkward. Whereas if you start from the get-go and think, okay, let's go with Standard, and especially on Azure when you kind of pay per use. So think of Azure where you say you pick up an instance and you build a server up there, 2012 R2 up there. And if you get you just install the role. So all of you, I challenge everybody out there. Okay, so I know you guys have test beds and lab boxes at home. Stand up a 2012 R2. Go download it from, you know, get the, I know TechEd isn't around, or TechNet subscriptions isn't around anymore, but you can certainly get a eval.
Yeah.
So I challenge you guys to download that. Now go and install the Essentials role. And what that Essentials role is, it turns on remote web access, which is a web-based portal that basically also turns on remote desktop services. So, and when I say remote desktop services, it's turning it on the server. So it's making that server be a remote desktop gateway. And it makes it really easy to then have remote desktop server attached to that, and then you remote into whatever you want to do.
Right.
So iPads, you go into, it used to be what the ITAP, and then Microsoft bought them.
Oh, okay.
So you go into Microsoft Remote Desktop Program, you go into the settings, you set up your remote desktop, and you go into Remote Desktop Gateway Settings, you put in the URL of the server, however you get to that server, to remote web access, you put in that remote desktop gateway information, and bam, your iPad can go straight into that server and get to the assets you need.
Wow, that's amazing. And that's a small business solution. This is not a big enterprise having mobile device management. This is a lightweight. All right, so the five of you that are doing this need to be able to access your iPad. I can give that. That's
and
really cool.
You know, Surface devices, let's be Microsoft-centric here.
Yep.
Surface devices love it. iPads will do it. What else? Androids, I mean, anything that can handle a remote desktop gateway with a remote desktop gateway server, that extra, you know, item in the RDP application that says, you know, what's your remote desktop gateway server, and that's what RWA automatically sets up for you.
Nice. That's pretty cool. And you suggest that we should be buying Standard and running the Essentials role rather than buying Essentials and being sort of constrained.
And for a couple of reasons. Number one, it gives you that Hyper-V from the get-go. And
right.
I'm sure there's many out there that do Hyper-V with command line. I am not one of them. I am a GUI person when it comes to Hyper-V. That's where I'm comfortable with, and especially if there's some kind of, you know what, hits the fan. I'm not going to remember PowerShell commands and remoting it. So I'm still a fan of having that Hyper-V. And in small business, what we do, how we do Hyper-V in small business, we set up that parent in a work group. We do not domain join it. So it's an island unto itself. And then it hosts all of the servers that we want to do underneath. And as you know, in the 2012 R2 era, we get two servers for the price of one.
Yes.
Well, three servers if you count the parent. So you get the parent and then two kids for one price tag.
Yep.
So why wouldn't you do Standard to give you way more flexibility, to give you a Hyper-V, and you know, all those small businesses say, now why would I need Hyper-V? Trust me, for those days that you need, I literally, this has been a couple years back, I had a dying 20 server 2003.
Yep.
And it was on a piece of physical hardware, and it was like, oh, shoot, how do, you know, I need that, but I don't want to buy another server. I P2V'd it.
Yep.
Stuck it in Hyper-V. It literally is still running to this day.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the biggest thing with virtualization is that hardware independence, that I yep. can just pick up this VM and put it somewhere else with some constraints. You know, like it, you, if you you take a VM from Intel to AMD hardware, you're going to know.
Right. I usually stick on Intel.
Yeah.
Or, so I make it a habit because in the small environment, I don't change processors. I kind of buy one and stick with that. So for me, I haven't hit that issue, but I know it's in the big guys. But for us little guys, I go Intel.
Yeah, yeah, no question.
And then the other thing you can do is, and this, I shouldn't say this too loudly, sorry, Microsoft, I have to have an ancient Windows XP in my environment for those ancient accounting software programs that cannot run on Windows 7.
Right.
And it may be 10 years out of date, but there comes a time when somebody says, I need to run a calculation on an old program. What do I do? And we literally have a Windows XP on Hyper-V. And again, because, and I to be legal about this, you got to do the VDI stuff and you get the headaches of the VDI licensing. But I've got a software assurance, one Windows license, one software assurance for that purpose of the VDI stuff. And again, with the parent there all ready to go, I've got ample room. You just load up on RAM and shove that XP in there and it's happy as a clam.
And off you go. Hey, Run As Radio is brought to you by ScriptRock, the makers of Guardrail and the fighters of configuration drift. Configuration drift happens in every environment from 5 nodes to 5,000. Guardrail will find and scan configs of every node in your environment, no matter what the platform, and alert you to changes happening across machines. Give it a try for 3 months free with the coupon code RUNASRADIO, all one word, at scriptrock.com/RUNASRADIO. So now I'm thinking about the modern small business setup. And you know, maybe you're all in the cloud, maybe you have an on-prem machine, and that on-prem machine just runs a couple, three VMs as needed,
yep.
so that you can upgrade painlessly. If you start having real load, you can throw another machine in if you have to. And it seems like Windows Server's taken over a lot of this stuff.
And remember 2012 R2, you can export a running VM.
Right.
You don't have to shut them down anymore.
Yeah, so a live migration for yep. a small business. That used to be big enterprise only.
Some of the guys are even, and this is beyond my pay level and my brain power by any means, some of the guys are doing clustering in small business.
Wow, fancy.
So two machines with the 2012 R2 and doing a cluster.
Yeah, that is, that again, big enterprise stuff, but available to the smaller setup if you're willing to learn and do the work.
Right.
Well, and one of the things I really liked about Small Business Server back in those days was that there was a group of folks who that was their living, is they helped companies take care of their SBS setups.
And they're still there.
Mm-hmm.
It's, to be honest with you, it's a little bit more, it's not quite as narrow focused on, because obviously Small Business Server.
Yeah.
And people these days are doing all sorts of things in small business. They're doing just as many oddball things as you guys do in big enterprises. I mean, Google
sure.
Apps to, you know, Apples and iPads and, you know, all sorts of implementations and full cloud and no cloud and
well, and just because you pushed Exchange up into the cloud doesn't mean it still doesn't need administration.
Yes.
So the idea that there's somebody you can call that for a fee per month will take care of that for you, that's still a pretty compelling model.
Because it's still, I mean, honestly, I think the cloud is making things more complicated.
I agree.
Not less. Because there's a lot more DNS issues. There's a lot more, where is it and how do I get to there? And especially, and again, for those people, I would hope that, like, you know, 99.9% of your audience already has an Azure testbed out there and is using up that $100 credit that Microsoft gives you every month. But if you are not and if you haven't done that, my goodness, I mean, the who moved my cheese, who moved the entire cheese platter is when you get up to Azure.
It's not just my cheese. Where's the platter?
Yes. I mean, they call things a little bit differently, you know, and that, you know, you've got to get used to the screen and especially you have to know how to spec things out. I mean, I just had this instance the other day. I had an emergency situation with a blog site. I used to blog on Community Server as the back end, which is for anyone who's aware that died a long time ago. And I hadn't gone around to migrating to WordPress, which note for everyone, if you are still on Windows Server 2003, plan now. Do not wait until the last minute like I did
yeah.
with migrations. suck. And
yeah.
So plan now. Do not wait for the last minute. But anyway, so I had to do a temporary server, and I went, hey, wait a sec. We've got this Azure up there. Let me throw it up there.
Yeah.
So I threw it up there, and I did my old-fashioned premise mindset of let's spec a server as big as I can and as much RAM and as much juice. And you know, I got through half of the month going, I'm not going to have enough credit to
right.
run this. So you have to go, wait a sec, what's the best spec for the workload you're doing, and get just enough with a little extra, because you can always put more on, but you certainly don't want to overspend when it comes to Azure. So you kind of have to get used to not overbuying.
Right. Well, the whole thing with you overbuy hardware is you pay once.
Yes.
And then you forget about that you overpaid, even
yep.
if you underutilized. But Azure is going to get you every month. So you'll be very aware that you're overbuying.
Right.
Although it's still hundreds of dollars, not tens of thousands when
exactly.
you're talking in this scale.
But I mean, when you are using up credit and you're not paying for it and it has to go on your credit card for the excess, you
yeah.
suddenly pay attention to that.
Yeah, that's funny. But it's not a bad, that seems like a good reflex
yes.
to just be aware of what are we actually utilizing, what's important to us, so forth. You sort of focused on some good things there. How big is the VPN side of this whole essential service? Because certainly they talk about it a lot, but is lots of folks wanting to work remotely? Is that the driver there?
And we're starting to see more and more. I mean, like there was a recent blog post that another gentleman in this space did, and I gave you the link, and you'll put it up in the notes.
For sure.
And he migrated from SPS 2003 totally on-premise, and he went up to Server 2012 in Azure.
Right.
So he had, and again, this is the fact pattern where there was no office. So where do you put the server?
Right.
There were six users. They had lots of email. They had totally closed their offices, and they were working remotely. So where do you put that server? I mean, some consultants are putting servers in their own colos.
Yep.
But for the people, you know, for those consultants that don't have a colo or don't have a relationship, it's like, wait a sec, you know, think a little bit, think another cloud out there. We've got Azure out there. And so go straight, you know, do not pass go straight to, you know.
They just jump directly to the cloud.
Yep.
Well, that's a big jump, right? From 2003 to 2012 R2, it's like, that's 9 years of technology.
Yes.
It's a pretty hefty leap.
Actually, probably even more, because when you think about it, SPS 2003, that was the infamous platform that got slowed down with the stand down.
Right.
The Server 2000 era, we're not going to code anymore. Stand down, so
yes.
it got impacted by that. So you're probably looking at a much longer time, you know, technology-wise, of how much change we've had and how long.
Well, and just getting away from this mindset of here's this scary old machine that could tip over at any time, and there's no way to get away from it. Like that day can be done. You can get that out of your head entirely, either in the cloud or all virtualized, so you can move to hardware anytime you want to move.
Right, and in the cloud too. Again, you don't. You can be cheap about it and
mm-hmm.
set up one installation in one geographic location. You can set up the clustering, so it's you've got geo redundancy. So it's, you know, talk to your client and what are they comfortable with? What's their budget?
Yeah, where do they want to go? What are their expectations around all of this?
What's their downtime? You know, there are times like if you put it in one data center, you know, they'll have maintenance windows.
Yes.
So if that is not acceptable to your client, by all means, look in the geo redundancy, because it can fall over to another location.
Yeah, and you'll just stay up. Well, and how many times have I had this discussion where folks saying, oh, I can't go into the cloud, it's just not reliable enough. And I'm like, do you really think you're more reliable than the cloud? Are you keeping good records of how well your stuff's actually functioning?
Yeah, it's a lot of control. It's,
yeah.
You know, you have to pry the fingers off the boxes. So, yes.
Yeah, definitely, you know, sort of this understanding of what's valuable and what isn't. Like where are you providing your real value for all of this?
And especially for those consultants out there that are still, you know, maintaining anything based on the Server 2003, we've got, what, less than a year?
Yeah.
And, you know, for those people, it's there's no support. And people, you know, so many times when I told people, you know, XP, you know, no support this year, they kind of blew it off going, well, I never call Microsoft support. It's like, okay, let's talk about what that means. That means no security updates. That means, and right now we're in kind of this good era right now where if you have an issue migrating from server 2003, you call up PSS support. If you're in absolutely stuck, they will help you because it's still in a support window. So after that support closes down, there is no guarantee that you can call Microsoft and say, hey, I'm migrating from such and such, you know, can you help me? When Server 2003 goes out of support, I think they'll say, want to buy our premier support package?
Yeah, you think? What was the last version of Small Business Server? Was it 2008?
No, 2011.
2011.
Which is based on 2008 R2.
Right. Not, and I don't even know if you can get that anymore.
No, well, if you want to buy through somewhat disreputable places, which are a little shady.
Yeah.
I mean, you can find it on eBay, but I don't know if eBay is such a great place to be buying software. You can still buy CALS. So if you have an SBS 2011.
Right.
And you need CALS, the CALS are still in a channel, but not officially you can't buy SBS 2011 anymore.
Okay, so officially you can't buy it anymore. They want you to buy 2012 R2 Essentials and go through that whole process.
Yeah, and again, you've got to sit down with the client and say, where do you want your email? You know,
right.
Where are you comfortable? And that's definitely, I'm seeing, there's this kind of draw a line in the sand between two camps. There's a group of people that says, no way, I want my email here. And it's okay. There's actually a wizard inside of it, of Essentials, that supports an on-premise email server.
Right.
So you go into that Essentials and say, hey, I've got this connected Exchange server, connected in so everything's in the same console, and there it goes, and off it goes running.
You know, the piece we haven't talked about at all when we talk about Small Business Server is SharePoint.
Mm-hmm.
And SharePoint in the cloud is pretty good, but it is a restricted set of SharePoint. If you've gotten any customization stuff done, the chances of you being able to go up into the cloud with it are low.
Usually, and we've got two kind of smaller, I wouldn't say this is half and half.
Right.
This is much smaller. There's those people that love SharePoint on SBS 2003, 8, and 11.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. And for those people, chances are they outgrew it because, especially on the 2011 platform, it was no longer with an unlimited database.
Yeah.
So for those people, I go, okay, let's sit down and talk about SharePoint. If you think Exchange is the beast that belongs in the cloud, SharePoint
yes.
totally belongs in the cloud.
Yeah, the tricky bit is the restricted feature set.
On that one, I'd go, if you really, really, really love SharePoint, there's no way it belongs on-premise anymore.
Right. And you should, there's nothing you can do on-prem SharePoint that you can't do in the cloud. You just have to do it differently.
And I don't have any sources for this at all.
Mm-hmm.
So do not take this as gospel. Take this as total, rumor. But I just don't feel that they're going to be doing too many more SharePoint on-premise. The free versions or anything on-premise, I think for SharePoint is just, I just don't see them doing it going forward.
Yeah, it sure feels both Exchange and SharePoint seem to be running directly to the cloud. And, our days are numbered for on-prem
yes.
folks, essentially. And once you pull it, as soon as you take those things off the table, you really don't want SQL Server anymore anyway.
And especially if the only thing you're running locally is a domain controller, you're really not supposed to put SQL Server on a domain controller.
No.
Kind of frowned upon.
Yeah. So you just sort of, once you start peeling these pieces off, the SBS offering just doesn't make any sense anymore. And
then people will ask, well, what about patching? Okay, let's talk about patching.
Yeah.
You can do Intune these days, which is a cloud-based patching solution.
Are you using Intune? How do you feel about it?
I'm still the old-fashioned, quite honestly, with SUS, but I have been testing Intune.
Yeah.
And it has some, if you don't have an Exchange somewhere in the mix.
Yep.
Because Exchange is the pivot point for me with mobile device management.
Right.
So if you've got an Exchange server, even if it's Office 365, that's your tool for managing your phones and your fruit devices and all sorts of things.
Sure.
If you do not have an Exchange or if you don't have a Microsoft Exchange product, Intune is actually the way to go to manage those little things that you can't keep control because, in fact, day one, iOS 8 just came out yesterday and Intune is already supporting it.
Nice. And then again, that's one of those. And when you talk about those kinds of devices, they tend to want to be interfaced to the internet anyway. So
right.
The cloud association is just not that much of a stretch. It's only when you want to manage them purely on-prem, like your iPhone behaves differently when you're in the office. But then it's a different ball of wax. You know, we're talking these days more and more small businesses, no offices. Of course, that stuff's going to end up in the cloud.
Right.
Well, it's an interesting balancing act between each of these pieces. And just trying to figure out what you're willing to live with and what you're not willing to live with, and battle it back. It's nice to see more than one solution. I guess again, you're talking. This is the awkward teenage phase where yep. There's several approaches to things because it hasn't been decided. They're all growing at once.
And it's hard for this consultant community because before it was very narrow and very focused. Oh, everything. They throw a small business server at it, even when it made no sense at all.
Right.
Two people, let's throw SBS 2003. You're like, dudes, really? Two people?
Two?
You really want to do that? I mean, they would just do it. And now it's the having to step back and think about what's the right solution here? And it's a little bit more going out there, let's pick this and let's pick that and put that in the mix. So it's not as laser focused, so it's a little bit harder. But it's also, I think it's more of an exciting time of, picking the right solution.
Yeah, without a doubt. And having a variety of ways to go about it.
Yep.
So what are the pieces that you actually want here? And it also lends itself to when it is just a couple of people and they just start with Office 365, which I don't think we've talked all that much about. I mean, that's the way you get the Exchange in the cloud.
Right.
And then it also is all of Office too.
Yeah. And you can start out small and just do the Exchange piece and not do the full Office suite.
Right.
Or you can buy, and nowadays, I mean, quite honestly, the way they're pricing Office 365 and the way they're pricing Office included in that, it makes it really hard to say, oh no, I'm going to buy premise Office. You kind of look at that going, okay, let's do the math here,
Yeah.
Kind of giving it away, guys. You know, they're kind of bribing us here. So,
it is pretty darn cheap.
Does it make sense anymore that we're paying this much for Office?
It's true. They really, really want to go to a monthly subscription for Office.
Right.
They really want you to, and they're certainly creating incentives.
And especially when they give you, benefits like you can install it on multiple devices.
Yeah. And you can't lose it. You can't lose your license key. You can, all that stuff goes away. It's simple.
True.
Yeah, well, I think people forget about
those.
And
right now I have a love hate relationship with Click to Run. Click to Run is Office 2013 when it comes in from Office 365.
Right.
It's a deployment methodology that uses AppV on the back end.
Yeah.
And I have a love hate relationship right now, and I'll tell you why. So if they get it right, I love the concept behind it. I love the fact that at any point in time your Office is up to date because sometimes you'll get Outlook not working right because you don't have the latest update roll-up, which they don't put out on Microsoft Update. They only put security patches for Office. So all those lovely cumulative update roll-ups that you kind of stumble across going, wait a sec, how many months has that been out with that hotfix, would be included in the click-to-run deployment. But the last couple of months, which has not been too great for patching in general, let's
right.
be honest.
It has been tough.
We've had some click-to-run issues where the only resolution was to uninstall click-to-run and reinstall. And you're like, guys, that's not the greatest. So I love the potential of it. I wish they would put a little more recessivism on the back end so that every workstation wouldn't have to pull down the click-to-run image.
Right.
So you'd have more of a centralized, which there's ways to do it. Don't get me wrong. You can do a domain deployment of it and do a domain deployment of that click-to-run. But it feels like you're reinventing with SUS. There's lots of documentation out there how to do this, but you read it going, I got with SUS over here. Why am I redoing? But anyway, like I said, I love the concept behind it. They just need to work on the quality and the recessism of it. And you're like, it's almost there, but it's not quite there.
Yeah, like I said, these models are in flux. They're young and lanky yet. These are, in some ways, they're version ones. It's just going to take some time to get it nailed down. The early version of Small Business Server wasn't easy to use either.
Oh, I had that 404.5, and I can tell you I know exactly where I was sitting going. It was the very first update, before SBS 4.0.
Right.
And you had to minimize a screen to click behind to find the yes box because they didn't pop it in front.
Love it.
And of course, you know, we found that's actually how I found community and news groups is because I kept trying to install it and it kept getting stuck.
Yeah.
And I started searching online, found these news groups, and this guy said, oh yeah, you minimize this screen. There's a yes box behind there that it's waiting for. And you click that, and then it goes on.
And everything's fine. Magic. Hey, Susan, it's so much fun to talk to you. I'm sorry you didn't come back sooner to talk about some of the craziness that's gone on here. But I appreciate you setting us straight on what we can do from Small Business Server now.
And we should call it the Small Business Solutions and not Small Business Server.
Right. Small Business Solutions. I love it. Susan Bradley, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.